Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
We're going to talk about the man who missed Christmas, and in just kind of a way to introduce this message, I thought it might be helpful to introduce you to a little girl named Lucy. You might remember her from the movie The Chronicles of Narnia, and she has met a fawn, and this fawn's name is Mr. Tumman. And so we're going to hear a little bit of the dialogue. Go ahead and just run that. Hear a little bit of the dialogue between the two.
Come along. After you.
They have you back.
Oh, thank you very much. Now that is my father.
He has a nice face. He looks a lot like you.
No, I'm not very much like him at all, really.
My father's fighting in the war.
My father went away to war too. But that was a long, long time ago. Before this dreadful winter.
Winter's not all bad. There's ice skating and snowball fights. Oh, and Christmas.
Not here. No. No, we haven't had a Christmas in 100 years.
What? No presents for 100 years.
Always winter, never Christmas. It's been a long winter.
Always winter, never Christmas. So we're told in the story that the people of Narnia are living in this winter without Christmas, without any joy, without any hope, because of a white witch that has cast a spell upon the land of Narnia. And it's sad because there's a lot of people today that are still missing Christmas and living a life that is always winter by their own doing and reasons of their own choosing. And so you need to ask yourself this question. Have you got the spirit of Christmas today? Do you really have that true spirit of Christmas, that true joy that comes from knowing Him whom Christmas is all about? And that's what we want to talk about today, because there are many people that seem to have missed Christmas, and they'll miss Christmas again this year. And they're not just fictional characters like white witches and Ebenezer Scrooges and Grinches, but they're real life people. In fact, I want to share a story about a real life person, and I'm going to share parts of his story throughout the message. And his name was George Mason, and the story is told to me by David Rigg. And this man is a man who literally will miss Christmas. George Mason's life was centered in his business. He lived alone and refused all invitations to socialize. His brother's family had urged him to visit, but the children always made too much noise. Besides, he didn't want to buy presents for his nephews and nieces. Instead, he bought some good CDs for himself and planned to listen to them and enjoy himself at home alone. Now, we'll get back to that story about George, but this morning, we're not going to focus, like you would maybe think, on Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, like our Living Nativity had, or even angels. We're not going to focus on the three wise men. We're not going to focus on the shepherds. But today we're going to focus on those in the Christmas story whom normally don't get much attention, those who, like George Mason, missed Christmas. We're going to first look at the innkeepers in Bethlehem. Secondly, we're going to look at a man named King Herod. And third and lastly, we're going to look at the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They all missed Christmas. But what can we learn from them? Let's discover that together. We're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, as well as the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. So if you want to follow along, you're welcome to do so. There should be a Bible in the seat in front of you, under the seat in front of you. And in Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. So you can imagine, as Mary and Joseph entered the city of Bethlehem, they came across no vacancy sign after no vacancy sign in the windows of the inns of that little city. And it's amazing to me that there are so many people in the city, but no one seems that concerned about this young, soon-to-be mother and her husband. This woman who's about to give birth, right at the verge of giving birth, and no one's there to offer any help. Did you read verse 7? It says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no hospital in those days to go. They would, in that time, have midwives that would come, and they would come to the home and they would help in the birthing process. But there's no midwife available in this story. In fact, no one is there to help with the birth of this little baby. Why? Why would this young mother and father have to give birth to their firstborn son all alone? In a stable full of animals. Doesn't that seem odd? There were those around, certainly, that could have helped, and yet in our story, we're never told that there was anyone who actually did help. No innkeepers, no midwives, no townsfolks and neighbors. No one. No one there to help them. And each one of the people in Bethlehem missed the very first Christmas. Every one of them missed Christmas. It happened right there under their noses, right beside them in the house next door. And they missed Christmas. They missed it. What happened? Well, there was a census, and there were too many people. The town was crowded. There was a lot of busyness and hustle and bustle about. And they were preoccupied. They had their hectic lives. They had their own plans and their own problems. And you know what? The world is filled with innkeepers. The world today is filled with people that are just too busy. They have crowded lives and they're just too busy. And so often, I find myself as one of them, especially at this time of the year. We're too busy. We're running to and fro. We've got Christmas lists to fill. We've got presents to wrap. We have people to visit. We have shopping to get done. We have cards to write. We've got decorating to do. We've got schoolwork to finish, tests to study for, plays to practice for, and even a worship practice for Christmas services. There's so many things to do, and especially at this time of the year, isn't it? And often, we find that the season that should be the season to be joyful and merry is really a season in which we run ourselves literally ragged. We neglect what we really need, and we neglect those who are most in need too often at this time of the year. And if we do that, we miss the true joy of Christmas. We miss the real reason for Christmas. One of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, and it means God with us. And in Psalm 46:10, the Lord tells us, "Be still and know that I am God." And I think at this time of the year, more than any other time of the year, we need that exhortation, that encouragement to really take some time and be still and come to know God better. Come to draw closer to God and to know His Son. You see, we don't want to be like the innkeepers who were missing from the story, or the midwives who were missing from the story, or the neighbors and the people about the town, who were missing from the story. We don't want to be like them. We don't want to miss the true joy and the true meaning of Christmas. And they all missed it. Now, do you remember our story about George Mason? He misses the joy of Christmas as well. Let's return to our story. It says, on Christmas Eve, after his employees left, George Mason went into the office vault to get a little extra cash. Soundlessly, the newly oiled hinges, the great door swung shut behind him. Sudden darkness and the final click of the automatic lock startled him, and he panicked. Desperately, he pounded on the door, but before long, he realized that no one would even hear him. Everyone had gone home, and he was in the office all alone. Even the cleaning woman had gone, and he recalled hearing of people suffocating in vaults, and he was frightened out of his wits, and maybe he could make it through the night if he was quiet and just breathed very slowly. In the morning, the employees would arrive and open the vault, and he would be fine, or so he hoped. So let's look at what we can learn from our next person in the Christmas story, and that is King Herod. We find out about him in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." Now, did you know that King Herod called himself the king of the Jews? So what do you think he felt about this news of a newborn king just a few miles from his city in Jerusalem being born? In fact, we're told about Herod that he was a terribly evil and psychotically wicked man. In fact, so insecure and so fearful was he of his throne and someone taking the throne from him that he had all rivals put to death, even members of his own family. He had his sons killed. Sons. He even had his wives killed because they were a threat to his throne. The only reason why Rome even kept Herod as king of the area was that Herod was very good at one thing: extracting taxes from the people. And so they allowed him to stay in that position. So what do you think that Herod might have thought of these wise men that came speaking of a king to be born, a king of the Jews. In verse 7, it says, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Now there's good news. Herod doesn't kill baby Jesus. Mary and Joseph are warned to go to the neighboring country, to Egypt, and there they would protect their son. But think about it. King Herod could have been one of the very first to have been there that first Christmas morning, one of the first to see baby Jesus. He could have been there, and he should have been there. But Herod missed Christmas. He missed the very first Christmas because he was afraid that this little baby would take away his throne. And I find it interesting because there's many people today that are much like Herod. They're afraid that Jesus is going to take the throne away from them, that they won't be able to be king or queen any longer. They're afraid that Jesus is going to take the throne of their power away, or their plans away, or their positions away, or Jesus would take their career away, or their lifestyle away, or their choices to live the way they want to without regard to God's ways or God's commandments. Oh, these people, they're not going to give up the throne of their life to anyone, not even to God. And they will miss the true meaning of Christmas. Yes, they will miss it. So let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Who is the king? Who is on the throne? Have you made him the Lord of your heart and your soul? Does he rule your life, or do you rule your own? So do the words of Jesus, do they stretch into every aspect of our lives, into our families, into our marriages, into our workplaces, into our life experiences, into our dreams, our hopes, our plans? Who is Lord? We must ask ourselves the same question, because the innkeepers, they missed Christmas because they were too busy. Herod, he missed Christmas because he wanted to rule on his own throne. Let's return to our story about George Mason. It says, George Mason suddenly remembered that tomorrow was Christmas. The office was closed. Everyone would be at their homes. No work, no people. Rats. His heart pounded with fear, and he wondered if he could get enough air to last for 2 days. He calmed himself down and tried to think. It was a new vault, and it seems that the salesman had talked about this safety feature of an air hole. So he began to feel around in the darkness and all around and up and down before he finally located a screen hole in the top. It was too small for a thief to break in, but large enough for air. And he sat on the floor of that cold vault and began his vigil of waiting for Christmas. Christmas Eve came and passed. Christmas morning passed. And now Christmas Day had passed, and he wanted to be alone for Christmas, but not this way. He was extremely uncomfortable, hungry, and thirsty. And as you can imagine, he needed to use a restroom. But there was none. And the air was getting damp and cold. It was awful. And the darkness was so intense, it was almost brushing his face. And so the innkeepers, they missed Christmas. So did Herod. Now let's look at the third group that missed Christmas. The most amazing of all, the religious leaders in Jerusalem. Did you notice that I skipped over some verses in the Gospel of Matthew? Let's go back and read them, verses 4 through 6. It says, "And then Herod had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" So the chief priests and the scribes, they knew the scriptures, and they should have known that Jesus was coming when he was to be born, and yet they missed Christmas. They missed Jesus. How could this happen? Think about it. They lived in Jerusalem just a few miles from Bethlehem. They knew the scriptures. They knew the prophecies. They read the Bible. They worshiped in the temple. In fact, they loved to be in the temple, and they would help others with their sacrifices and their worship of God. In fact, they were too busy. Too busy with their religion and their tradition, and they missed what took place that night in Bethlehem as well. They missed their promised Messiah. They enjoyed all the externals of religion, but they never really grasped the true essence of the internal realities of what religion is all about in our hearts. So how is it possible for people to be so involved in church work and to be so close in religion that they actually miss having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And yet, Jesus himself, he warned us that this could happen. He told us in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." And there's going to be people that say, "Well, we prophesied in your name, and we did all these good things in your name. We listened to you teach. We heard your words. We knew your words. We did good things." And Jesus says, "I will tell them, 'Depart from me. I never knew you.'" Why? Because they missed the reality of Christ himself, just like these that had missed Christmas. Let's return to our story about George Mason. The day after Christmas, the chief cashier arrived and disengaged the automatic lock of the vault, but did not open the door. Without anyone seeing him, George Mason staggered out of the safe and made his way to the water cooler. He grabbed his coat and went home to his lonely residence. Later on in the day, he returned to the office. No one had even missed him. No one, not one at all. But George Mason, he completely missed Christmas. What a tragedy. So several people missed that first Christmas. The innkeepers missed the first Christmas because they were too busy. King Herod missed the first Christmas because he wanted to rule his own, and he did not want Christ to rule anything. And then the religious leaders missed the first Christmas because they were caught up in the externals of religion without having a personal relationship with Jesus. And there are people today who are still missing Christmas, just like George Mason did. And these people are all around us. They're our neighbors. They work with us. They drive by us. We are there in line with them as we're waiting at the checkout counter at the store. They're all around us, and they are missing Christmas. And just like George Mason, who locked himself in a vault and locked everybody else out, they have locked themselves in a prison of their own making, and they have told God, I don't want you to be a part of my life at all. What a tragedy. And in doing so, they will miss the true meaning of Christmas. 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 A Christmas without Christ? What do you have left? Just three letters. M-A-S. And they stand for missing abundant salvation. And that's what you have when you take Christ out of Christmas. And I pray no one here misses Christmas this year. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we don't want to be so busy like the innkeepers that we miss the true meaning of Christmas and the true joy. Lord, slow our lives down. Let us be still and to know that you are God. Lord, we don't want to miss the true meaning of Christmas like King Herod, who determined that he alone would sit on the throne of his life, of his sphere of influence, that no one else would come close to interrupting what he thought he could control. Oh Lord, I pray that each one here would have surrendered their life to you, knowing that you are the King, you are the Lord of our lives. And Lord, that no one here would miss Christmas because of religion, that we would be so caught up in the externals, but not really focusing on a true heart-to-heart personal relationship with you through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would not miss Christmas, but rather that we would find the true meaning and the true joy of Christmas this year, each and every one. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.